Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Scandinavian cinema and television continues to punch above its weight. You know, there's always a lot of films that translate nationally. I mean, last year we had films like The Square, The Other Side of Hope, Thelma, which all gained a fair bit of a following in Australia. Also, the success of Scandi Noir. We've got a whole host of innovative auteurs that are well known around the world. How do you think it is that Scandinavian countries have been able to develop such a system of film and television production that has allowed them not to just have their culture engulfed by big industries of production?
The way that Scandinavians view their films. In the 1990s, they changed the definition of film to be something as a product of culture. So for Scandinavia, they often associate their films as part of their country's culture and therefore identity. So a lot of effort is placed into making these films that they know will be able to represent their countries abroad at film festivals and also represent how they think, how they act, and what's happening here.
Now, this year, we have the follow-up film from the director of Winter Brothers, which was at last year's film festival. Now, this is a film called A White, White Day, by an Icelandic film, which was well-received at Cannes. This film I saw a few weeks back, and it really uses landscape very effective in this austere exploration of masculine grief. Can you tell us a little bit about this film and the director?
Yeah, so the director, he's a really interesting Icelandic art director at the moment. And when you look at what Iceland's been doing in the last 5 to 10 years, you notice that they don't release a lot of films, but the ones they do release have this exceptional quality, and they rely so heavily on what makes Iceland unique, which is its landscape. But in these movies, they depict the characters' emotions through the landscape. And in A White, White Day, they depict this deteriorating protagonist through the use of the changing of the seasons, and it's such an Icelandic quality to film.
And talking about young talent, the film I saw last night, Aniera, is a science fiction film based on a verse poem of Swedish Nobel laureate Harry Martinson. And it might certainly be one of the year's most innovative films. Now, like all good sci-fi, it reflects a lot on a current social political realm. And it's quite extraordinary that, you know, this is a film about a poem that was written in 1956. It still seems very contemporary.
Really interesting. When you think about this film, when you think of what Scandinavia is doing at the moment, I would say that science fiction is probably one of the most emerging genres. We're starting to take a lot of inspiration from genre because it appeals to mass audiences. But at the same time, we use this popular genre to talk about current social issues. And that's a very common Scandinavian attribute, which then links back to the fact that we receive funding from the government, because part of the requirements for getting this funding are to reflect social issues. So we're using science fiction a lot at the moment to talk about climate change, environmental concerns, and Aniara perfectly does that. So despite the fact it's based on a poem from the 50s, I think it's still similar problems we're having today.
So it's also a pretty impressive film for such a limited budget. The director certainly showed a lot of innovation to be able to create that. It's often a challenge with science fiction films to be able to realise that vision. And I mean, a lot of this sounded like it was shot on ferries, and yet, you know, watching it, you wouldn't know that.
Well, I think when Scandinavian films get funding, they get so little funding. And I actually think that helps you be more creative rather than getting so much funding, because this, you have to think and you have to use real locations and really use real people. And
now, this year, we've also have the adaptation of Norwegian writer Per Pettersen's award-winning novel Out Stealing Horses, which leaps back to instances 50 years in the past to explore a man coming to grips with his relationship with his father. At the time, they are living in this very isolated, self-sufficient part in the Norwegian logging territory. Now, can you tell us, does this film live up to the novel, which picked up the Impact Literary Award about a decade ago?
I think it does. It was in good hands with Norwegian director Hans Petter Moland and also lead actor Stellan Skarsgård, who a lot of people will recognize. And this film, it really tries to capture the essence of the novel by setting it in this beautiful Norwegian countryside. And very similar to that Icelandic film, White, White Day, using the countryside to sort of depict the main characters. And it is also this very melancholic, reflective film looking back at yourself that sort of reminds me a little bit of the films of Ingmar Bergman.
Oh, definitely, yes. And this year, the festival has a spotlight on Nordic noir, which will see them screening the highly successful Stieg Larsson Millennium Trilogy and also the Jussi Adler-Olsen's The Department Q series. So these stories have been a real national cultural phenomenon. Can you tell us, what is it about Nordic noir that's seen it sort of generate so much energy globally?
I think it's interesting. Yeah, I think it's interesting because when you want to see a foreign film or TV series, I would say that the crime genre is the most accessible genre because the crime format is very similar around the world. So this is sort of like an introduction to watching something foreign. And again, how Scandinavia adapts it is that they use the crime genre to reflect social issues. And that is so clear in Stieg Larsson's Millennium trilogy, because he based a lot of the story on his own journalistic research when he was researching the rise of the far-right extremism in Sweden and Europe. So we make really good crime series because we put so much of ourselves in it.
Also, I should mention that there is also a Stieg Larsson documentary, so for people that are really interested. But from Denmark, you have a film also looking at this political environment. It's a film called Sons of Denmark.
Really interesting because we've seen a lot more use of first and second generation immigrants in contemporary Danish film, and they really try to reflect on this division between the regions of the capital, Copenhagen. And Sons of Denmark is a continuation in these films that we've been seeing, where they try to highlight this class divide, this social divide in the surroundings of Copenhagen.
There's also going to be select screenings of the film called X and Y, and a film about gender obsession, where the director and main actors play different versions of themselves. It just looks a really interesting experimental film probing identity. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, it's directed by Anna Odell, and she's very interesting. She's been active in Sweden for the last 10 or so years, and everything she makes is just really unique, and it really stands apart from anything else happening in Sweden at the moment. And in X and Y, she uses a lot of very famous Scandinavian actors, some of which will be very recognisable to Australian audiences. And she tries to understand gender by replacing herself with different actors. And it's just very unique. There's nothing else like it out there.
Any other films that you'd recommend for this festival that I've overlooked?
I really like The Purity of Vengeance, which is the latest in the series of Department Q films. The Department Q films are kind of like the film version of a Nordic Noir TV series, like The Killing or The Bridge. And in the last one, what they did was they hired this very experimental art director called Christopher Bow. And they gave him this huge blockbuster, and he just puts his spin on it. And he almost makes this film look like a 1940s film noir. And it's just absolutely beautiful. But at the same time, it's just such a popular film series that people need to see it.
And that's been breaking box office records, I believe, has it not, in Denmark?
It is the biggest selling Danish film of all time, beating the other three. So the four films, they're sort of 1, 2, 3, and 4.